sunshine out there. Now look, there's a cloud.
I'm sorry, what? I was playing too much Sousa music there. I didn't.
There's a little glare on the car roofs.
The what?
The roofs. The car roofs. What? There's glare. That means sunshine.
You know, for the last minute, I haven't heard a word. All I heard is sounds over there. I thought you said caroos? What?
No, car roofs.
Car roofs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is my mic on? Hello?
No. Car roofs.
Testing.
Car roof!
David Arredondo joins us. David, it's been a long road, hasn't it?
Good morning. Yeah, it's not even a year since we sat here the day after the first Republican debate and talked about all the happenings then, and here we are.
And not too long ago, remember when Cleveland was awarded the Republican National Convention. My how things have changed, in a sense. I don't know if the city knew what they were getting into, or if they knew where things were in the climate these days, whether this is something they would still want.
I give the city leadership, and that is from government to business to community, a lot of credit for taking this on. A lot of change has come about. We've seen good things happening in the infrastructure of the downtown Cleveland area. New businesses have developed. The airport has taken on a new look, which was badly needed. So all of this was done for the convention, but you know the long-lasting effects will be many, many years forward. So I give them a lot of credit for taking it on.
David, any idea what people you talk to about the impact it's having or has had on Lorain County so far?
Not especially. People here in Lorain County are enthusiastic about the convention. They are getting business in the Avon, North Ridgeville area. Certainly hotels are occupied in those communities. Certainly we have folks from here that are participating in the convention. Many of the activities that take part, not necessarily in the convention center, but around the convention. So certainly the folks that are part of this are very excited.
I'm going to play a little from ABC on their road to the White House. Give us a little talking point, a bit of talking points here.
Road to the White House. The Republican convention in Cleveland opens today. New ABC News Washington Post polling finds Hillary Clinton's lead on Donald Trump is down to a statistically insignificant 4 points. But 6 in 10 of those queried called Trump unqualified to be president. Party chairman Reince Priebus says Trump has a great chance to win.
I think as he pivots to the general election, picking Mike Pence, I think he's much more precise in his rhetoric and his tone and his attack. I think he's got a lot of room to grow.
On ABC's This Week broadcast, Priebus said delegates opposing Trump have two choices, Trump or Hillary Clinton. Complicating matters, Ohio allows citizens to legally carry guns out in the open. Guns won't be allowed in the convention hall or within a perimeter established by the Secret Service. And Second Amendment activist Steve Thacker says, leave the guns at home.
I don't encourage anyone to come down here when tomorrow or during the time of the events carrying if you have no need to.
Richard Cantu, ABC News.
A lot of different elements going on related to that. Craig, you gave me the agenda related to this. Every day has a theme. Today is Make America Safe Again.
Well, that's a very important priority. And in going into the November election, that probably will be the number one issue, national security, both internal and external. So people will be voting in terms of who they feel will keep them safest, whether it'll be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Tuesday is Make America Work Again.
That's the second most important issue in this election, and that is the economy, getting people back to work, particularly in Lorain, getting that steel plant back into action.
Make America First Again is Wednesday. That's also the night that we will hear from the vice presidential pick, Mike Pence, too.
Well, certainly America's leadership in the world has diminished over the last 8 years, and we need to take a number one position that we used to have.
And then Thursday, where Donald Trump will be talking, speaking, Make America One Again.
Well, that's the most important problem right now in our country, is that we are deeply divided. If we go back to 8 years ago, we had a president who said that he would certainly unite the country, and there was great optimism that racial divide would disappear, given that we had put behind our prejudices and elected the first black president. And nothing further than the truth has occurred than during that last 8 years. So yes, unifying the country probably is the number one priority of all.
David, we haven't talked about Mike Pence yet. What do you think about that selection? What can you tell us about him, and how does he fit that bill?
Well, he fits several ways. Number one, what's important is that Trump communicate to the party, particularly the leadership, those folks that have decided to sit out the convention, like our governor, that he represents the establishment of the Republican Party. He's a known factor. He's someone who is a former congressman. He's been very connected with Washington. He's the governor of Indiana, a former governor of Indiana, and has done a great job in Indiana. So he brings legislative as well as executive experience. He is someone that is very conservative. And so where there are Republicans, particularly the conservative base, who are concerned with Trump's, some of his liberal attitudes, they are assured that conservatism will be retained within the Republican Party and the Trump administration. So I think on several accounts, Mike Pence, and he's a very, very deliberate and calculated speaker who can stay on message, who can stay on script. Sometimes that's something difficult for Trump to do. So I think that all in all, that he is the perfect, as well as can be, vice presidential candidate.
Bruce and I have a list of all the people scheduled to speak this week at the convention over those 4 days, and we kind of half joked about some of the people who will not be there, though. In the end, does it matter that the Bushes won't speak or that John Kasich won't speak? Does the average person care about who doesn't speak?
No. Listen, I've been to a couple of conventions, and I've sat on the floor, and some of these people, I just assume not even be on the stage. So whether, in fact, Jeb Bush is there, who's totally irrelevant. I'd very much like our former president, George Bush or George H.W. Bush, to be there. But I can understand if they don't want to be there. But it's not crucial that they are. So it's... It's like those folks who don't show up at your party. You can't be concerned with who's not there, but certainly dwell on those who are.
Let's talk about, for a second, two people who are now scheduled to speak. And for some, it might raise an eyebrow. You've got Ted Cruz scheduled to speak. You've got Marco Rubio scheduled to speak. You've got two people who really sort of got reamed by Mr. Trump, and they tried to take it to him as well. How do you reconcile that?
Well, how you reconcile that is that you recognize that the next 4 years or the next 8 years with the Democratic administration led by Hillary Clinton is unacceptable. And that's the same position that I'm sitting in myself, because as you well know, I did not like Donald Trump. I'm not crazy about him. And I probably feel the same way that Rubio and Cruz feel. But we recognize that there is no choice to change the direction of this country if, in fact, we help elect Hillary Clinton as the next president. So I think it makes perfect sense for them. I'm seeing a lot of Republicans who are following that same position. It's not so much that we're... for Donald Trump, but that we are never Hillary, and we recognize that we need to have a Republican in the presidency.
You mentioned you've been to conventions before. Have you ever seen what kind of celebrity speakers? Do you remember any of those? Because
I'm trying to recall in 1972. I don't think there were too many celebrities that we would recognize or remember at that time. I certainly don't remember. There are a lot of different things that were going on at the Democratic Convention in 1972 that were mostly chaotic. You know, people talk about Trump being chaotic and this convention being, crazy or with some of the speakers on there. But there's nothing that can compare with the 1972 Democratic Convention when you're picking your nominee at 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't get any crazier than that. But in 2004, Rudy Giuliani just really rocked the house. And, of course, that was in the aftermath of 9/11. We're in New York City. He was a hero of 9/11 and its aftermath. So that was certainly someone that was most memorable and probably the most memorable of that convention.
Well, the Republicans will get the first taste of sort of how the social media climate has impacted a convention. I guess maybe the Democrats a week later can kind of learn from that. People will probably be immediately tweeting and getting information or discounting what someone says or just going, there's always the bullying that takes place or whatever. It should be very interesting to see. But the goal, I guess, is to get the general public, anybody, to understand who Donald Trump is. That's why many of the family members and people who are him try to find out more beyond, I guess, what you see on the TV or from his speeches.
I don't know that there's so much more that needs to be known about Donald Trump, because I feel that all along this is not about who Donald Trump is. It's what he is and what he represents. Because we already know who he is, and many of us are turned off by who he is. But what he is and what he represents is more important. And this is what he needs to articulate and to promote among the electorate, and that is what he will do. Certainly his judgment in terms of Mike Pence is very, very solid. It shows that he can lead. When he picked the 11 candidates for the Supreme Court that have been looked at by major legal scholars, they all agree that these are solid individuals. I think that would be very smart of him during the Democratic convention to announce on a daily basis who his Secretary of State will be, who his Secretary of Defense will be, CIA Director, et cetera, which will further establish that he's a very competent and stable individual.
As with anything, it's always the team you start to build around you to determine whether there's going to be success or people kind of come on board, if there's somebody there that they can relate to or that they like too.
Right. And what the Democrats are trying to do is to paint him as someone who's incompetent, who is incapable of being the president, that can't make good decisions, and he's erratic and everything you want to throw at him: racist, misogynist, sexist, and none of those things are sticking. Insofar as those are not losing him voters, and in the contrary, what he's doing is continues to increase his polling numbers. And Washington Post just said on your piece there that you're almost in a statistical tie nationally. We got a ways to go here.
What about those polls that show 60% of those surveyed dislike Donald Trump, 60% dislike Hillary Clinton, the highest amount, according to one survey, ever, where you've had these, two candidates facing off? What does that mean in terms of who gets what votes, or do people just stay away?
Well, let's look at it in this context. There probably are a number of Republicans who are polled who will say, "I don't like Donald Trump," and they will be registered in the dislikes Donald Trump. But then these same people will say, I'm going to vote for him because I can't vote for Hillary, or I can't set out this election because it's too important. So, yeah, despite the fact that you have that high dissatisfaction, I still think that some of those individuals will vote for Trump. Now, on the other hand, with Hillary Clinton and her high unpopularity, that continues to build in the wake of the FBI conclusion that she lied and she did not tell the truth before Congress in terms of the emails and that investigation. So her numbers are, his, I think, are pretty stable. Hers will continue to go up.
But her supporters would say, no charges. She's ready to run. We're good.
Well, that may very well be. And I think they're in a similar situation whereby they, you know, they have no choice but to vote for her because they're sure as heck don't want to see Donald Trump as the next president.
Well, what are you doing today? Where are you off to?
Yes. No, I'm on my way to work, and I'm going to have to get out of there and head over to an event for Senator Rob Portman this afternoon. And then there's a big what is called the Buckeye Bash that's going to be held downtown at 8:30. And this is going to honor the Ohio congressional delegation. And a special award is going to be given to, or special recognition is going to be given to former Speaker Boehner.
Right. And you're going to be wearing a uniform later this week, too, right?
Yes, I've just concluded the first weekend of South Pacific at True North Center. I play United States Navy Captain George Brackett, and we'll be on two more weekends at True North. So we had a sellout yesterday. We have a near sellout next Sunday, so please call and get your ticket as soon as you can.
For South Pacific. Thanks for coming, David Arredondo.
Thank
Appreciate
you so
your insight
thank
as
you,
we have this big week here in Cleveland.